bringing our man Will Z. Will, what's happening, my man?
What's up, Damien? How you doing?
I'm great, brother. I'm great. So happy that you are here with us, man. Will Z of SI. Will, this sucks, man.
Yeah, it does.
I told the insiders earlier, I'm just ready for this season to kind of be over. And
I heard you say that.
I don't know if it's over during the regular season, fine. If it's over after the first play-in, fine. If it's over after, you know, five games with the Oklahoma City Thunder, maybe it goes to it's whatever. I'm just, this season has been so repetitively frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not even disappointing. Like, I heard you say that, and I 100% agree. Like, it's just, there's nothing they can do in the last seven games. And in the, like, yeah, if they win, I think to be impressed, they'd have to win, get into the playoffs and win the first round series, which I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can happen that will surprise me anymore with this team.
Including getting to the playoffs. Like, if they get to the playoffs, it's like, wow, they did it. Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I can't believe it. They did it.
Yeah. And it's just not even, I don't even know if I'm disappointed. I can't find the right word to explain what I'm feeling. Indifferent at this point, I think.
I don't think it's indifference because we're still invested in it. Like, I'll speak for me. I think I'm just so tired of the constant. I think I'm exhausted. We talk about this feels like, you know, 2, 3, 4 seasons all wrapped up into one. Like, Mike Brown was the head coach this season. It feels like an eternity ago that Mike Brown was the head coach. That was this season. The excitement of the DeMar DeRozan signing. And if anyone says that they weren't excited in July, like, I feel like they're lying. And then the season kind of starting the way that it starts, and then all of the ridiculous De'Aaron Fox stuff surrounding his trade, and then ultimately the trade being executed, everything that happened after the trade, you know, the working in Zach LaVine, and then you had the actual trade deadline when Valanciunas and Jake LaRavia come over. I just feel like so much has happened. There was a 7-game winning streak this year. There was just a ton of excitement surrounding Doug Christie. And it's all just kind of settled.
Yeah.
And stopped.
And maybe this is the first time that it's kind of evened out, because it's been so many ups and downs with the drastic changes in between. Like, we haven't had kind of a steady stretch. And maybe we're in that at this point, which is a tough time to be in it because there's, 7 games left?
Yeah.
But it's just weird. It's been a weird season. That I'm starting to get to the point, especially like writing articles, like writing the matchup article every game is just, I don't look forward to it right now. I do it to do it and because I need to, but it's like the joy around this team, which seems like the buzzword of the NBA this season. Mm-hmm. Like, the joy seems like it's gone from everyone, media, fans, team, players, coaches, like everyone around the Kings. It just feels like it's... everyone's ready for it to be done.
What stood out to you the most last night? They didn't get blown out. They played really solid basketball for 47 minutes or whatever it was, and then they wind up losing late to Tyrese and Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, I think to me it's just those two plays, the back-to-back, like... just terrible defensive plays, and to have those types of lapses. I wanted to try and go back and watch them again before I came on, but I forgot. Trying to find my AirPods, finally found them. but the like lapse in defense with a minute to go, at that point when you need a win, I think it was like a soft screen to get Tyrese open, and LaVine didn't step up on it or something like that. And then the Siakam one, I don't remember the details, but similar. Like, it wasn't great offense by the Pacers to get those open looks. They just kind of moved the ball a little, set some screens, and got great opportunities, and the shots finally fell. Like, Halliburton was saying, we know we're going to get the shots to fall. Like, we're getting the looks, they're going to fall, and they did. And like you were saying, how they were dancing around and making fun things almost on the court. They knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. Personally, I felt the entire fourth quarter like the Kings were going to lose. Like, it just was a matter of time for me that eventually it was going to fall apart. So I think just the last 2 minutes of execution, the inability to score at all down the stretch, the shot clock violation, the lack of going to Sabonis in the fourth quarter yet again, like just multiple things that lead to that moment and to the loss.
I know you wrote something it was before the Indiana game, mm-hmm. about the Kings' three-point shooting. Or was it the Kings' three-point shooting defense?
Yeah, a combination of both. So I wanted to look at how, because they've had issues not only defending the three, but also making their threes. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it all season, just their point differential from beyond the arc. They're losing it almost every night. So the numbers are a little old, but I did refresh this one. They have made 169 less three-pointers this season than their opponents. That's the second worst differential in the league. The only team that has more of a difference is the 21-54 New Orleans Pelicans. They're at 187 on the bottom side. For reference, the Celtics, to no surprise, have made 380 more threes than their opponents, which is nuts. But that's the other end of the spectrum. So we see just the Kings are getting constantly destroyed beyond the arc. And I don't know if we're still in the midst of the 3-point era. It feels like we're reverting back to twos, but like the NBA is 3 points, like 3-point making. You have to do it. Doug Christie's asking for it over and over and over again. And he led off with it, I think, in his press conference last night, how the Kings need to take more threes. And he's just saying the same thing. And they just keep sitting around that like 24 to 30 range, which is so low, especially with him saying he wants 50.
This is tough because obviously Doug is the first NBA head coach that like I know, and it's hard to like, is that Doug's fault? Like, whose fault is that? Like, Doug wanting them, because at some point, like, I don't think they've even approached the number that Doug has asked them to. I think it was the Bucks game. We looked at this a minute ago. They were 9-38, just 23%, awful. But there were 38 three-point attempts. Everything since then, Boston, Portland, that was a win. Orlando, lost by 30. And last night's game, those are all in the 20s. And it's like, is that on them for being unable to do what Doug is asking them to do? Or is that on Doug for not recognizing that perhaps this team isn't capable of doing that?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know, maybe a combo. I don't think the roster is set up to take 53s because you've got DeRozan, who has been taking more threes this year, and Sabonis, who, again, has been taking more, but that's not, neither of them are going to want to go out and take 8 threes a game. And you've got, again, Monk. I keep saying it, he's not the best 3-point shooter. Like, he'll take them, but he'll probably be around that like 35% range. This team just doesn't have the makeup, I think, of a high volume shooting team. And maybe it is, I don't know, Doug needs to reassess the strategy, but at the same time, I don't know how you lean into the 2-point strategy because that clearly hasn't been working either. So you've got to try something different. The ironic part is they shot 47 threes against the Thunder and lost, like, and they made 23 of them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I don't know. This is a weird team that doesn't feel like the roster makes sense with what the coaches want, even with Mike Brown, now with Doug Christie, before the trades, after the trades, none of the different seasons have made sense.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was the tough part about acquiring Zach LaVine. As much as I still believe that was just a lateral move from De'Aaron Fox,
yep.
It was also, okay, this doesn't bring anything different to the roster. Mm-hmm. Like, at worst, you're replacing De'Aaron Fox with another version of De'Aaron Fox. You know, a guy who has a similar skill set to De'Aaron Fox, a guy who could score on multiple different levels.
Yep.
And it didn't balance. To your point, it didn't really balance anything out, and it just kept whatever imbalances or frustrations you thought existed with the De'Aaron Fox version of the team. It just kept them in place because Zach LaVine is a similar player.
Yeah. And like, you get more threes, but from LaVine than Fox, but actually maybe not even more. So I pulled up since LaVine's first game and the number of threes per player. You've got LaVine at 6.8, Keegan at 6.4, Monk at 6.3, Keon at 4.3, DeRozan 4.1, Laravia 2.7, Lyles 2.7. Like, those are all fine, but as a team, they're averaging 34.3 threes per game. Let me look at what they were averaging before. Let's just switch this date. So before the trade, they were averaging, where'd they go?
The numbers are escaping. 35.9.
So it actually went down since LaVine joined the team.
You said 35.9.
Yeah, and I think the first after the trade was like 34.2 or something like that. So it's weird. I don't know. I feel like I just keep saying it's weird over and over and over again. Sorry.
Well, no, it is. I mean, it's, I mean, you know, the DeMar DeRozan haters will blame him. Mm-hmm. The Keegan Murray detractors will say he's not taking those shots anymore. The in and out of Keon and Malik is, you know, kind of frustrating in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And go ahead, go finish that just to make sure. KC's here, ladies and gentlemen. Media superstar, hey. Kenny Caraway, with his 90s R&B turtleneck on, looking fire. We'll talk to KC about Mike Bibby's press conference coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But there's like a why? Like, why is the inability? And at this point, I'm not even asking about the inability to get the three up. I'm asking about the inability to get the three up, and there's theories all over the place, and I feel like most of them center on DeMar DeRozan and a lot of Kings fans just not liking the way that he plays and him, I guess, not fitting with what Doug Christie wants this team to do, which is going to create for a really interesting offseason.
Yeah, so you pair that with their inability to defend the three. Like, in case anyone forgot, Kings are giving up the highest three-point percentage in the league, 38.6%. That's right around what they gave up last year. This isn't a new problem. Even though we have new players, we're still seeing the same issues in terms of defending the three. It's just a multitude of everything stacking on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're not stacking days, we're stacking problems, which is not ideal.
Oh, man. Will Z with the season tagline right there, stacking problems. We appreciate you, Will. 7 games left. What do you think happens?
Oh, man. I don't know. They probably win like 3 or 4. The Suns are 2-11 without Durant this season,
mm-hmm.
with both of those wins coming against Utah. So I think they'll still get into the play-in scenario. After that, I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Dallas. I won't be surprised if they lose to Dallas. Anthony Davis coming back will be a big question,
yeah.
or how he plays
yeah.
In that scenario. But I don't know. It's so hard to say.
That's I don't know. The other tagline of the Sacramento Kings yeah. season. Great stuff as always, Will. We appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.